Yeah, that was my cat jumping off the bed. He's had enough of me. How are you?
I'm good. We were just going over this, but like still
Yeah.
recovering from like post-COVID kind of stuff, improving,
Yes.
but getting there, back at work officially, which has actually been going well. I was given a
Awesome.
project that is keeping me off of phones for a while, so I'm not exerting my breathing too much talking
Oh,
to
that's
people all day
good.
long. Yeah,
That's awesome.
it's been really fun.
That's so great.
Yeah, I love projects.
Projects are fun. I also have a fun like series of projects at work too. I'm getting more into like
Hey.
not video editing, but I guess video art direction, creative direction for video. Yes, I'll be involved in that. We're currently working on this exciting new series that will be featured on social media. I don't want to give anything away, obviously, but
Hey, well, tell me
yeah,
later.
excited to be just yeah, just excited to be, you know, 'cause I'm a graphic designer, obviously, you know, static, more static arts are what I focus on. Unless I'm like making a GIF slash GIF, however you say it. But video is something that I've always really loved, always felt like I was good at, but not really a focus in my workload. And now, I guess this coming year, I'll be focusing on that more. So that's exciting.
I love that. I love when, especially for people who are creative like you, where you're able to branch off and continue to be creative in new ways. Creativity can't be static. It has to be just expanding.
Yeah.
That's the
Yeah,
nature of it.
it's exciting. We have so many new people on our team too that I'm less stuck in the weeds with like the busier, tedious work and can actually focus more
Love.
on some creative like general creative direction and then big picture projects, which is really exciting.
Oh, and I bet your Capricorn is loving that as well.
Oh, it absolutely is. But at the same time, I had a date night with Gavin on Friday night, and I was so Gavin is a manager, and he's one of those people who's like a natural born like leader. He's just like really good, and he leads by example. All of his coworkers, like in the past when I've talked to him, they've only ever sung his praises as a leader. And you know, he's been in his new position for like a year, blah blah blah. And he was like, "Yeah, I'm feeling great in it." And me, I'm like. My Capricorn, yes, I'm like I have my eye on the prize. I want to be like that leader and that manager, but at the same time, because I'm such a perfectionist, I'm like, what if I let myself down? What if I let other people down? And he's like, you have to chill. Yes, it's kind of this dichotomy of arrogant confidence in the workplace. And as well as crippling fear of failure in the workplace at the same time. I'm sure other Capricorns can relate. But yeah, very exciting. And then speaking of graphic design, I just finished designing my invitations yesterday.
Yay.
So when we were trying to record, and I was like, oh, I got caught up with wedding planning. I was over at my parents, and my mom was kind of helping me with the invitations. Like I was designing it, but it's just nice to have someone who also has a creative eye, like give feedback, because otherwise I would just keep going endlessly. And I mean, like a graphic designer designing their own wedding invitations, when it's a client, you kind of know when to stop. But when it's for something yourself, you're like, oh, I could do better. But I actually did the impossible, the seemingly impossible, and reached a point where I'm like, I am so happy with this invitation suite. I sent it off to the printers to send for like proofs. I'm super excited. So, all good things. All good things.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's super exciting.
Yeah.
Sounds like, I feel like both of us, it sounds like things are going really well in our personal lives. I do know, based off of when we're recording this, that other people listening, there have been some other bigger things going on in the world that are not so great. And I
Yes.
just, we don't have to go too much into discussion on it, but I just feel like I don't want it to seem like we're ignoring.
No, I do definitely think we should acknowledge the overturning of Roe v. Wade. The state of this country for me, with my political views, is I was very affected. I was very sad. I know that on the other side of the aisle, as you know, they like to say, people were rejoicing. And I'll just say to those who are rejoicing for that, I'm going to say that you are valid in what you believe. I don't agree, but if you are in that camp of rejoicing, please also try to make strides in trying to support people with uterus. If we are going to have to follow through with pregnancies, how do we support them after? Because pretty much just left alone, I think there just needs to be more support for parents in this country.
I think a lot of people rejoicing don't actually completely understand what it means to have this overturned, because I think they do think it ends with just abortion.
Yes.
And that's it. They don't realize that it's connected to the right to privacy, and that from that, many other things fall and were protected because of the passing of Roe v. Wade. Things like HIPAA we have because of Roe v. Wade. And I don't think a lot of people understand there is that connection, and that with this being overturned, they are looking to overturn other things as well. And I think maybe those who are rejoicing truly do just not care about anyone other than the straight white male. But I think there's some disillusionment there that
I behoove those who are rejoicing to have your moment, but now that, you know, once you have your moment, actually dig into what the repercussions mean.
See, I don't even want them to have their moment. I think that they have done a huge disservice to the humanity of the United States by pushing and agreeing and rejoicing in it. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand. And it's not, I don't think it's okay to, if you don't want an abortion yourself, by all means, don't get one. But you don't get to have a say over what somebody else does, no matter how much you're against it.
Yeah. That's my, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I am furious about the outcome, but I think one issue in this country with its extreme division is not being able to have a conversation with the other side. And so for me, I just want to encourage everybody to not only look at things through the lens of whatever your political orientation is, just educate yourself past what people who are like you are saying. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying that, like, oh, it's okay that happened. It's not okay. And that's all is, you know, now that it is done, though, I hope that if any people who supported the overturn of Roe, if you guys are listening, please actually, I behoove you to educate yourselves on what this fully means, other than the kind of, I think it's like overly simplified abortion.
Yeah,
like, you know, like, oh, you're killing a baby. You're not killing a baby. We have the right. It's just, it's these short sentences, and it's a very multifaceted thing. It cascades into so many different things. Mm-hmm. And in that, I agree with what you say, is that, you know, it's more than just, you know, anti-abortion. Is what does this now mean for other areas of our lives.
Right. And I really think the people who are for it, the thing is the majority of Americans are not for overturning this. They weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's what 80% of Americans want to have access to abortions, whether they identify as man, woman, doesn't matter. Most people want it. So like that's it's almost a moot point to even discuss the people who are happy about this, because they make up a decent minority of the people who go out and vote. They're really not the ones. If it was given a vote, we would have it back. But that being said, I think when it comes down to it having been overturned, it really isn't about abortion at all. It's about forcing pregnancy on people and taking away their options to make decisions for themselves, to have privacy when it comes to their health. And they're going to continue to ensure that they don't have access to ways to prevent pregnancy in the first place. What they want is to make all these things a felony where they can. Obviously, they're saying it's up to states. Certain states are going to protect us. I feel very fortunate to live in California, but there are other states that are not. They're going to make it a felony to seek out an abortion. And what happens when you're a felon? You can't vote. And I think that may be one of their goals with all of this, is to take away voters. Among many other things. But it really, I think, it comes down to power and controlling the voter base and passing whatever they can while they hold the majority currently. And as we all know by this point, they lied under oath to get into the position that they're in to be able to overturn this. So there's a number of things. Who knows where this is going to go? I will say, to kind of segue, like, outside of just politically, if you are either on Instagram or TikTok and you are following anyone witchy, spiritual, whatnot, there's a lot of people out there talking about, you know, astrologically, where could things go? What does the chart say? I know there's been a lot of talk leading up to this time period of the United States going through its Pluto's return and what that means. That being a big time of transformation. And I think it's totally fine as witches to listen and pay attention to things like that. But I've also seen some really, I don't know, it makes me feel funny. I don't know if you've come across it, people doing like readings of like what's going to happen next. And that makes me feel real iffy, because one, it doesn't feel ethical. Two, you're going to have people watching that and going and thinking that's it. That is definitively what's going to happen next. And there's a lot of fear mongering going on politically and spiritually that I've found. And
yes.
I know the more recent thing, which definitely sparked an idea for our next ethical episode. I think we are going to tackle the New Age spirituality movement. But I've seen a bit of that as well, talking about things coinciding with what's going on right now. The CERN super collider being turned back on. I've seen a number of New Age spiritual people trying to connect that with trying to open portals to other dimensions and stopping our awakening. Like, it's all being taken too far. It shows a complete lack of understanding of what the CERN super collider is actually doing. And it's just using what's going on right now as an excuse to push something completely different. And I know that's a bit of a tangent, but I had to go there.
We did it. We acknowledged it. And now we will move on to our listener stories episode. This is our 23rd listener stories episode. And we'll start off with a question. This comes from Cadence, she, her, hers. She says, "Hi, I'm Cadence, Katie for short. I am 13 and I was hoping you could help me with a couple of things. But first, do you remember my sister," she inserts the email, "Annika. She asked a question in April. I'm wondering how I should get started with spells, because I have spell candles and crystals and herbs. I even have a howlite crystal tower." Love howlite. "Also, can you do more episodes on cannibalism and cults?" "Those are my favorite episodes. Thank you, Katie." First of all, I like don't love cults, but I love learning about them. It's very intriguing.
Fascinating.
They're not so fascinating.
Not in a good way necessarily, but like.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's the same reason why, you know, just true crime is so popular, is that morbid curiosity of, you know, all that goes down. You did that amazing coverage on NXIVM.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was great. I actually have gone, I've been on a kick watching like docuseries of cults. And I definitely want to. There are so many good ones, and even ones that like aren't like the classic big hitters that you usually always hear about in true crime podcasts. So I'm looking forward to covering a cult in the future for you. Cannibalism, have we covered that yet?
I don't think covered we any have. Case with that? There were a couple. Wait, I feel like there was one that touched on cannibalism, but it was thought
it wasn't
that
like
it
the
occurred,
central thing,
but it didn't. I think there was definitely a story I thought about covering and I just didn't get to it. I think it happened in France, or maybe there's two. I'm thinking maybe it was a Japanese man in France. I don't know. There are definitely stories involving cannibalism, but there's also cannibalism that I think we also is witchy, for lack of a better word. Old cultures. That engage in cannibalism as part of their spirituality.
So, yes, we will cover some of that in future episodes to answer that, Katie. And then she also asked how she should get started with spells. She has candles, crystals, and herbs. She has the cowlike crystal tower. So it sounds like kind of like you're a newbie witch. You're figuring out how to get started.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have, didn't you and Melanie covered candles at the very beginning, right?
Ooh, yes. If you like working with candles, we did cover very early on. It was like one of our first five episodes. We covered candle magic, very, very like surface level, just like with color symbolism and all of that, dressing candles. So you can listen back to that, but I would definitely, honestly, when I started out, Pinterest was my resource of, there's all these great graphs, and then also if you're interested in tarot or, you know, just card divination, like the different spreads that you can do, I always saved, like, or like recipes for spells and potions. I definitely use Pinterest as, like, a resource when I was first starting out to just kind of get a general sense of how to go about it. I think, you know, do crystals really call to you? Do you really like herbs? Maybe you can start a little herb garden, learn the basic magical properties of each, start steeping teas with those properties imbued, of course. Yeah, I think there's, you know, I think if you're super, super new, I mean, especially with you being 13, you're still rather young, I would still try to just kind of absorb as much as you can. Go back to our early episodes, which are much more like kind of generalized, you know, dipping your toe in the waters. And get a sense of what calls to you and what feels right.
Yeah.
It sounds like with the materials you're using, you could be under the Green Witch umbrella. Maybe that's for you. But again, you can also be just an eclectic witch and just doing what you're doing and whatever feels right. You don't have to label yourself. I think that's a big thing that I like to tell brand new witches. We tend to like to put things in a box, us humans.
Yeah.
And it helps us make sense of things and know what direction we're going in and where we belong. But I would say, you know, this is going to be a very individual practice for yourself. So what speaks true to you, and try not to just fit yourself into whatever box you think you should be fitting into. And listen to the ethical episodes that we have. So you can make sure you're discovering things, but discovering it ethically, knowing kind of, you know, what's right and what's wrong, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think more specifically, you know, it sounds like you're asking what kind of spells you can do with those items. I would consider what kind of spells you want to do. Because remember, these are tools. So tools work for you. They don't do the work. So I would spend time, maybe even just intuitively try different things. Do your research, feel out what feels right for you, but just try different things and see what the outcome is and if you like it. Because some people, that's doing a spell, is it's just very personal. And while you can certainly find like pre-written spells with everything you need to do it, it's going to mean so much more if you have your own spin on it. And I think a lot of it comes from self-discovery. So just spend some time with your, especially with your crystal tower. I think that's pretty powerful. And just, I don't know, take some mindful meditation time and see what comes forward. And maybe your higher self will actually show you what you can do with those and the spells that you're hoping to cast.
Nice.
Nice.
Next, we got another question. This is from Samantha. And she says, hey there. I recently started listening to your episodes and I am loving it. It is so cool to learn, although it can be confusing for someone who considers themselves to be about 40% Catholic still. This podcast has been really helpful for me to figure out what I think. But I was wondering if you would be willing to do to talk about dressing a candle specifically for protection. Thanks for everything, Sam. Which is so funny. It's kind of like
kind of a piggyback.
Perfectly a little piggyback. Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, like when I was starting out, I did dress some candles. It's not my thing. I don't do it regularly just because it just didn't feel like a regular like practice. There's some people that are really drawn to candles and candle magic. Mm-hmm. Some herbs off of the top of my head that are for good for protection. And that would be like rosemary, black pepper, sage, salt. Mm-hmm. I think time calls for like courage, so not so much like banishing negative energy or anything, but it kind of gives you like a strength fortification.
It really depends on what type of protection you're looking for, I think.
Yes. There's also time. I'm trying to think. Rosemary is like my rosemary and salt are my go-to for protection. Those are the ones that I go to most for that. But yeah, I think that's a good point. It's like what kind of protection. And I would also say, don't overly dress your candle because it can become a fire hazard.
That was going to be my point was... Whatever you do before you even start, I just would look up some fire safety tips, which yes. I don't know. Maybe that means maybe we need to expand on candle magic in another episode where we actually cover
portion
of that. Let me actually. Of course,
because I know that like you'll go on like Etsy and then when people look through Instagram or whatever and see like the aesthetics of a dressed candle, they're usually like loaded up with herbs,
right?
And it's very
so
pleasing
pretty.
To look at,
so pretty,
but yeah, it's so pretty and so dangerous. You don't have to put that much. You just have to put some of the herb. It just has to be on it. It doesn't have to fully like cover the candle,
right? Because the idea of this is honestly it's not too much different from like if you don't have that type of candle and you still want to use herbs in that kind of a magic, you can also just if you are able to do like a fire pit or something smaller, throw the herbs into the fire itself. Cause it's, that's essentially what's happening is you're burning an herb. It's just happening in a different way. So that's also an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you can either buy or make your own smoke sticks with like a combo of these different herbs.
Yeah.
That's another option too. And you can listen back to our ethical witchcraft on smoke cleansing. Shout out.
Our very first one.
Throwback Thursday. Huh?
Our very first one of the ethical.
That was our first one. Yeah, that one actually, that was when we kind of got the sense like, wow, people really like to talk about the ethics, because we got such positive feedback about that episode, and we're like, we should keep doing this.
Yep.
But yeah, I think, you know what's so funny is like all those herbs that we listed, I'm like getting hungry. I'm like, ooh, sounds like something I'd rub on like a, you know, a whole turkey or a whole chicken. Just roast it up in the oven. And if you are maybe curious about kitchen magic, hey.
Yeah. I was just going to say what I've been doing more than before. Like, I like a good salad, and I've always been one to like add a bunch of just stuff. I like the more the better. But I've been really kind of, I don't think overdoing it, but doing a lot more than I used to with adding different herbs and seasonings to my salads. And I don't think a lot of people do that. It definitely enhances mm-hmm. the flavors of it, but it's just also mm-hmm. another really great way to add some of the herbs that you're wanting to use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're, you know, vegan, vegetarian, and you love salads, another good way to use them.
Totally. All right, this is one in the same email that Sam sent us with her mm-hmm. Protection question. There's like two other stories, one other story.
They added on a little.
Well, yeah, we have this Gmail does this weird thing where it just kind of groups it as if it's a thread, but it's from different people. If it's all sent kind of around the same time, if we receive it like within the same 15 minutes or something.
So I don't know. This one's 12:13 and the next one's 12:50.
Isn't that what? Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I guess it's just like in the same day, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Weird. Anywho, you get to read it. I realize I read two stories in a row or two questions, I guess.
All right. I'll do this one. It is from Cathel? Cathel? Cathel.
Cathel? I see. Yeah, I see it.
Because I'm looking at the email. It looks, I can see what it. Cath. I'm going to call you Cath. Is that okay? Cat or Cath? Either way.
Cath.
K-A-T-H-L. All right. Cathel. Pronouns they, them, there. Theirs. All right. So they write, love the pod. First time writing in, but I'll send some more along. This is a story about sleep paralysis / shadow people. It's the only time I remember having sleep paralysis, although I remember my dreams vividly and do a lot of dream work. Okay. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and my family and I used to go to Kalamazoo, Michigan once a year to visit my mother's side of the family. Fun fact is, Laura, I thought that place was made up for the longest time before I realized Kalamazoo is a real place in Michigan. Just saying.
Are you really?
Yeah. Same with Timbuktu. I thought Timbuktu was
made up. Oh my God, I was going to say, I thought Timbuktu was made up because you just heard that all the time, but yeah. I never knew where it was.
Yep.
Or that it was real.
Yeah, I always heard Kalamazoo, but never Kalamazoo, Michigan. And once someone added Michigan, I was like, wait, really?
Question for Kalamazoo residents. Do you have a kazoo parade? Because if not, that is a missed opportunity. Ooh. The Kalamazoo kazoo? Like parade or something or festival? Can you imagine?
Oh, that'd be so cute. I feel like it'd be a fun thing for it.
And then like
you
can have different artisans making like handmade kazoos.
Yeah.
And everyone's just, you know, it'll be a very noisy day, but it'd just be so fun.
You know, why doesn't Petaluma have a day where you just bring out a bunch of llamas and you pet them? We have a butter and eggs day, but we don't have a Petaluma day. Petaluma and Petaluma.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean?
That would be adorable. We should start an annual event. We'll make bank.
Yeah.
We will make bank.
We will. And Kalamazoo.
We're trademarking that right now. I declare a trademark on that.
All right. Let me go back to this. Okay, so they went to Kalamazoo, Michigan once a year to visit the mother's side of the family. This was always to enjoy the family reunion / pig roast. Yum. The summer of 2015 or 2016, we went up and stayed at my grandfather's home. My grandfather at that time had failing health, was having dialysis and heart issues. Mm. All this in addition to living through a ton of accidents in his life. Was MIA in Korean conflict, hit by a train in his car, attacked by a St. Bernard. There's more, but you get the picture. Yikes.
Poor guy. Holy poor shit. Poor
grandpa. So I was set up to sleep in the loft area on an air mattress while my parents stayed in the basement. One of the nights I woke up paralyzed with my heart racing. It's hard to describe, but I felt like something was coming up the stairs to get me. I felt fuzzy, anxious darkness tightening my chest while I waited to see what was coming. Slowly, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a shadow figure with what looked like an army cap on, slowly moving toward my bed. He made it to my bed and the anxiety dissipated because up close, he looked exactly like my grandfather from his old army photos. We made eye contact and then I fell back asleep. The next morning at breakfast, my step-grandmother mentioned that my grandfather had stopped breathing during the night and that it really freaked her out. I didn't mention my experience since I didn't think they'd care, so not sure if I saw the Shadow Reaper come to take my grandfather away or the soul of my grandfather as it briefly left his body. Keep up the good work. And then they added on, my grandfather ended up passing away late November 2016.
Mm.
Very sorry that he passed.
I'm so sorry.
But I will say I love the story because I think, one, yes, it sounds like you definitely are experiencing some strong bouts of sleep paralysis, but the fact that the anxiety dissipated when you realized it could be your, it looked like your grandfather, I think speaks volumes to the fact that many times when we don't understand something, it scares us. But as soon as there's some familiarity, it goes away. And I am a big proponent of every ghostly experience to be thought of as potentially being someone you know. To allow yourself to maybe not let the fear overtake you, if possible. Sometimes we cannot control that, but I would not doubt that this being that you saw could have been your grandfather, either as if his soul temporarily left his body, or I think as people reach the end of their life, I think they're present on the other side. There is kind of this belief that while we are here right now, we also exist in the afterlife because time just works differently beyond what
we
know right now.
I don't think we're going to, I don't think the time is going to, there's no constraints of time.
Right. Which
in the afterlife.
There's, I could go on a whole tangent about that and how it connects to the physics that we know today and how it is, I believe, plausible. But I wouldn't doubt that that was him. One way or another, I wouldn't doubt that it was him. And I am glad that your anxiety did allow you to have that thought of that maybe it's not a bad thing, it's just him. And I think it would have been interesting if you had shared that with your family just to see what the reaction was, but at the same time, maybe, who knows, maybe it would have gone in the opposite way. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's very fascinating.
I don't know what else to like add on to that. I think I mean, I would freak out. Like, I kind of am in empathize where I'd be like, it could be like my mom who is alive. But if I'm in sleep paralysis, I would just like, I've had sleep paralysis before. It's been a very long time. I had it more in my teen, early 20s years. Mm-hmm. And it's a scary experience. It's just, it's not fun being out of control of your body, you know? No. But I think, you know, it definitely sounds like that was definitely grandpa visiting you.
Yeah.
Which I hope gives you some comfort and I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
And thank you for writing in and telling us your story.
Yeah. I hope we hear more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's next? Let's see.
One Miss Joe Gray.
Ah, yes. Joe Gray. Hi, she says. I just recently discovered your podcast and it has helped me so much. Myself, my sister, and my cousin have always had these gifts, but we're so afraid for a long time to admit who we really are. Your experiences and stories are far too familiar. Your podcast is like listening to us three talking to each other. That's so sweet. Just a few days ago, admitted to myself that I relate to the Green Witch and divination. My sis is a little of all of it, and my cousin relates to divination a lot. We would love to someday conversate with y'all. Truly love your podcast. Paranormal and witchy have always been a part of our lives. My sister is quite powerful and could probably help with a lot of your questions. Thank you so much for helping me personally, and much love. Oh, and we are from Alabama.
Fun.
Well, thank you so much for writing in, Joe. I know that there's no like particular story or question, but it's always just so lovely just to hear from listeners. And to hear what you like about the podcast. And I'm really excited for you guys to be living your true witchy selves.
I think the three of you should start a sisterly witchy type podcast.
Yes. And then we can do a crossover episode.
Yes. I think that'd be super. I would love to listen to three sisters. I mean, everyone in the world is obsessed with witchy sisters. Right? We've got Charmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Practical Magic. Granted, that's only two sisters, but still, it's a thing.
It is a thing.
If you three are interested, I would totally back it up. Let us know if you do it.
Yeah. And actually, the listener story after this is also the same Joe.
Oh.
So if you don't mind, Laura, I think I'm going to read out her email.
Yes.
Okay, so she says, "Hi, I'm Joe. I recently messaged you guys on your website introducing myself and my sister. Here's just one of our experiences with the paranormal. Be warned, it's pretty brutal." Oh my God, I'm so excited. Can I just say like how awesome it is that like you wrote that you guys have paranormal experiences in, and I'm like, I wonder what they are, and then I go to the next one and you have the answer for me. I'm excited to read it. Okay. She goes on to say, "I was maybe 8 to 9 years old and my sister was six years older than I. We moved into an older two-story home with our mom and dad. My sister chose the attic room upstairs, which was beautiful with a lot of space, and I had the room to the right of her. Her doors were made of glass panes that you could see through. One night, I was in my bed asleep. I awoke to hear my sister screaming like she was dying. I jumped from my covers and ran to my doorway, but could not cross it. As I kicked at it and screamed my sister's name, I could see her through the glass, and she was being slammed around like someone was beating her up. Whoa. My mom came up the stairs at this point, shouting the Lord's Prayer and slinging oil at my sister's door. At that moment, I was able to get through my doorway, falling on the floor. My mom busted the glass as we both went into my sister's room, finding her beaten up, blood all over her face and arms. There was her blood everywhere, even on the ceiling. Needless to say, we moved from that house very soon after this night. It was 30 years later, my sister and I finally went back to visit this house. She finally closed that chapter of her life by confronting the demon who had done that to her years before. I will not get into detail as it was demonic, but to this day, we have never went back there after she confronted it. It's closed now and buried. But we will never forget the experience and all the other experiences we had there. I tried to tell this story as mildly as I could. It was a horrifying time for us. Our knowledge has grown since then of the spiritual, the paranormal, the gifts we have. We are a lot stronger and closer to each other now more than ever. Thank you for listening. Much love, Joe." F to the uck, Joe.
Yikes.
Oh, actually, there's an email right after where she goes on, "The story I emailed you about the demonic thing, I'm Joe." And I forgot to mention that when we returned to that house, there was still blood from my sister on the ceiling. The new homeowner said he even replaced the ceiling and the blood comes right back. Just thought I'd say that. Oh, and I'm now 45 and my sis is 51. I'm dark haired and petite and she's slightly taller and auburn haired. Not sure why, but I felt I needed to tell you guys that. Practical Magic. It's just like Practical Magic, a brunette and like a redhead.
Yeah.
If you guys would like to hear more of our experiences, feel free to contact me. She lists her contact info. Some stories are too embarrassing to write down. You name it. I'm sure we have lived it. Much love, Joe. Okay. Still. Jesus Christ. That's intense. That's super scary.
That's, yeah, I mean, it's very extreme.
That's, we don't get that kind of story often of like someone taking the very physical brunt of a paranormal presence, whatever
a it massive was. Beat down is what it sounds like if there's blood everywhere.
Blood on this, yeah, if there's like blood spatter on the ceiling.
I mean, was she okay after? Did she have to go to the, I mean, I would assume she'd have to go to the hospital if that was the case.
So I hope she was okay. Scary. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, props to you guys to go back to that house and get closure. However you guys did it. It sounds like you got some sort of closure. You closed that chapter. If that was just one of the instances in that home, gee, whew.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that other than thank you for sharing that story. And we hope both you and your sister have had lots of healing from those experiences. That is not very common at all. Like, that's so extremely rare. I feel like Hollywood makes it seem like paranormal, anything paranormal can get like out of hand to that it gets to that point.
Right.
But in real life, like instances like that are so, so rare. Not like belittling your guys' experience at all, but just saying like
it is. It's extremely that it's rare.
Very extreme. And we've never had, I think, a story or a listener from a listener story where they've gone through that firsthand.
Yeah, I think most of the time when we've come across a story like that, it's been, you know, when we've discussed like the real story behind the exorcism of Emily Rose or something like that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I think we have time for one more story, one or two, depending on the length.
Sure. I've got the next one open here. Looks like it is a story from Brandon.
All right. We love a male listener writing in. We don't get those very often.
No. Let's see what he's got to say. All right. Hello. I recently found your podcast via Instagram and just started listening to it. Only a few episodes in, but want to say I love it so far. I wanted to submit a story of my haunted doll. This doll has had a lot of activity attached to it since I purchased it, and this is the story so far. A bit of a long story. So, I'll just start with some history on the doll. Was told this by the previous owner, in parentheses. She was bought in Monroe, Connecticut, about 30-ish minutes away from the Warren's Occult Museum at a secondhand store. The owner who bought it felt something was wrong with it and would often wake up with scratches and have nightmares every night. So she gave it to a friend to sell on eBay, and that's who he ended up purchasing it from.
Gotcha.
The man selling it had a few stories, like one, for instance, where he had family coming over, so he hid the doll in an upstairs closet so his niece didn't see it. The family slept downstairs, and the niece woke up at 3 a.m. crying from a nightmare, and she described the doll he had upstairs, but she never went upstairs and had never seen the doll in person. Didn't even know it was there.
Oh my God, so many chills.
So after that experience, he wanted to sell the doll but didn't feel safe with it, so he put it in a storage unit. The company he was storing it in called him asking for him to come and open the unit for them to prove there was no animal in it, as the security guard heard banging and movement in the storage locker at night.
Oh my God.
I bring very, very interested in paranormal.
Maybe he meant I have been very interested. Maybe.
I've been very interested in paranormal, having a collection of Ouija boards, a haunted music box, and an exorcism kit from the 70s, decided to purchase this doll. I having been. I think is what it was.
I having been. There it is.
Decided to purchase the doll. And when it first arrived, the second I took it out of the box, all four of my dogs started growling very, very aggressively and moving backwards away from the doll. To clarify, my dogs love everyone. Even if a stranger broke into my house to rob us, they would greet him with wagging tails and licks. So this was very odd for them. I sometimes worry that Domino mainly would do that, but
just be I like, get it. Hi, new friend.
Here's my ball. Look at it. Throw it for me, will ya? As I stated earlier, I have an exorcism kit. With this kit, there is a cross that is almost locked in place with two pieces of metal. And around 30 minutes after removing the doll from the box, I heard a noise from upstairs. I went upstairs to investigate. It was the cross. The cross had been removed from the kit and fallen off my shelf and onto the floor. I was the only one home, and all the dogs were downstairs with me, and my room door was closed.
Gross.
Ever since this experience, my family has been very scared of the doll. So I put the doll back into the box and sealed it with salt and put it in the garage of my old house. I moved out with my fiance, and my family still lives there. I unfortunately forgot about it as I was packing in a hurry. I forgot to get stuff in the garage. After I moved, my mother moved into her now ex-boyfriend's house, let's call him Logan, and she put the doll in a shed. Not every night, but a lot of times, though, out of the week, they would look outside late at night and the door to the shed would be open. One time when Logan went outside to close the door, he heard something move in the shed, so he went inside to check what the noise was. When he was inside, he couldn't find anything that could have made the noise, but he said he felt uncomfortable and cold, so he quickly went to leave, and just as he did, four truck tires that were sitting on a shelf right on top of where he was standing. Oh, they fell. Mm-hmm. So yes, this could have been a coincidence, but it felt like it wasn't, especially since the doll was also sitting on that shelf.
Gross. Oh my God.
After my mother broke up with Logan, she moved into an apartment and she put the doll in a closet. She has told me nothing has really happened since then, but when she's alone, she hears footsteps and knocks. And the last few nights, she's been waking up around 3 a.m. hearing noises in her room, but can never see or find anything. My apologies if this was hard to read. I'm not a very big English guy. These experiences are exactly how I remember them, and I personally am not afraid of the doll. I know I should be, but ever since I was young, I loved everything paranormal. I even see spirits and auras all the time. I feel the evil in the doll, but it has no power over me, so I therefore show no fear. Thank you for reading my story. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me. Well,
Brandon. Oof.
You know,
oof.
I have this interest in haunted dolls, not to the point of like seeking them out, but I'm always kind of like, you're a doll. You're not Chucky. You're not running around with a knife. Sure, you're going to create some paranormal experiences, but you're a doll. What are you going to do? I mean, okay, the tires falling. Granted, they missed him, but you know, that's a little something extra. But a lot of times I like watching the Annabelle movies. I was like, what is this doll doing? It's a doll. If it's a demon, get out of the doll. It sounds like you have more power outside of the doll.
Well, which I feel I know, like that gets into all that demon more. Had like plenty of power using that doll as like a little puppet thing. Like I always think back to the scene where the priest takes the doll and he's driving and she like kills the priest, doesn't she? She right, being, you know, Annabelle. But
if I was,
I don't know if the formless demon, you know, identified as a she,
right? The doll, I guess, was maybe a she, but if I had no form and I was a being that was just pure evil, I wanted people dead for some reason, I don't know that I'd go into a doll. If I wanted to fuck with a child, I think there's plenty of ways to do that. I'm not saying I don't believe in it. I'm just saying if I were a demon, dolls probably wouldn't be my thing.
And see, I watched Don't Look Under the Bed on Disney Channel when I was little. And there's that scene where all of her porcelain dolls, like the heads start turning. Mm-hmm. And dolls ever since then, creepy. I'm like, dolls are not for me. I did have a fuck ton of Barbies. Like, I had so many Barbies. That was always like, my parents were like, what does Maria want for her birthday or Christmas or whatever? And they would just say a Barbie. I loved Barbies. Mm-hmm. But they always were like in one of those plastic storage units, all stacked up, like on top of each other, locked up in the closet. I never worried about my Barbie dolls. But like looking those kinds of you. Other dolls. Yeah, looking at me with those big boobies.
That big smile.
And hi, that Maria. Big, just all American smile. I'm Malibu Barbie.
Can you imagine a little Barbie?
Oh my God, running after you. And you're like, I could just be walking and you would not catch up.
No, okay. You know how Barbie, she only walks certain ways, right? Barbie either hops or she glides or
she waddles.
She waddles. But there's also, if you made her legs move so that it looked like she was walking, her upper body would slowly go forward.
Imagine. Just the engineering, the math doesn't check out.
Yeah, it's not gonna work. But dolls, regular dolls, baby dolls, things like that, those are creepy.
For me though, it's, I don't see it. I feel like the reason dolls are so scary is the fact that, well, there's so many different like legends of and stories of dolls, like ones that are cursed, ones that are used as puppets for demons. I think the ones that are cursed are a little like, yikes.
Yeah.
But like the Annabelle movie where it's like the demon isn't in the doll, it's using it as a puppet, and just seeing it like move around or do its thing, you just know that there is a much stronger unseen force present with you that is strong enough to move a doll.
Right.
And it's, you know, I think it's for, I think dolls are much more like a threat. They're used as threats or to like just instill some fear rather than being weapons themselves. I give major props to Brandon for not being scared of it, because I would be scared of it.
My sister, I don't think that any of her dolls had demons, but there would often be times you'd walk past her bedroom and you would hear a doll talking. One of those dolls where it's like you talk to it, it talks back, or you have to like wind it up.
Oh, yeah.
To make it do so. And they would often just on their own be talking, and we'd all just kind of accept that something's going on. I don't know. We never really thought they were something bad. I think my mom wanted to think they were angels for some reason. Making a baby talk.
There are cute instances of like dolls that are alive that are like cute, like the thought of it, like in Lilo and Stitch where Scrump smiles when she picks her up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so heartwarming. Any other instance, if you're not Scrump, do leave me alone. No, thank you.
My sister once thank had you a next. Doll that it talked. That's what it was designed to do. And it was in the back seat of our car. My mom had picked up me, or she didn't pick me up. I was in the car. We picked up two other people. We were carpooling. It was my freshman year of high school. Out of nowhere, music starts playing from this doll. And we were like, this isn't designed to make music. Oh. And it was slow, creepy music.
No, thank you. The Furbies. Oh, God, did you have a creepy Furby? I had a Furby. My parents had to hide it in the garage because it was one of those things where it would just go off and no one really knew how to exactly control it. And yeah, they literally just put it in a box in the garage and let like the batteries just die on its own. Yes. Anyways. Not that a Furby, I don't know. They're creepy, but I wouldn't be very threatened by a Furby either, though, because it's just like this tiny little furry thing and they don't even have like legs that move.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, Annabelle, for the movie, they made her very creepy, but that's not what the real Annabelle looked like. It was a Raggedy Ann.
No, it was a Raggedy Ann doll, which not I actually had one when I was a toddler. Same. Yeah.
Not creepy at all. But, you know, obviously, Hollywood does have to pump things up a bit.
Because
who's going to be scared of
Raggedy Ann doll?
Even Chucky.
Well, I would think that they would try to, like, jump on that, because if anything, that instills so much fear, because there's so many people out there who had Raggedy Ann dolls growing up. But then maybe it would be a defamation thing against Raggedy Ann. Are they still a company? I don't know. I love this, like, philosophical conversation we have about haunted dolls right now. Brandon, like, submitted his story. He just, like, leaned back and got some popcorn. He's like, they're gonna have a day with this. Oh my gosh. I have to go get ready for a farewell dinner for Gavin's sister. She's moving to LA. So
I thought you said LA, like ALA. LA. ALAY.
LA. To
it's,
LA.
It's a new place. No one's heard of it yet. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, she's moving to La La Land at the end of the week. And nice. Yeah, so I have to go beautify myself real quick. But thank you to everyone who wrote in. I had a burp there. Excuse me. Thank you to everyone who wrote in. If you'd like to submit for a future listener stories episode, again, we do it every fourth Sunday of the month. Is our new format. If you didn't catch that we're doing a new format for our episodes, listen to our previous episode. So ways to submit your story or question to us, go to our website, thenewwitches.com, and go to our contact page. We have a submission form there. You can also email it in directly to us at thenewwitches@gmail.com. And you can also call it in. We do have some Google voicemail stories that we have to play for our next listener stories episode that are slotted. But yeah, if you call it in, we actually feature the audio recording of your own voice telling your story or asking your question. So you actually get to, like, really personally be featured on the podcast, which is really fun. The number for that is 707-559-8111. And it gives you up to 3 minutes to leave your message. Just, it goes straight to voicemail, so you don't have to talk to anybody, but you do have up to 3 minutes. If you'd like to support the show, please check us out on patreon.com/thenewwitches. We are on Patreon. We have different levels of tiers for membership, and we give you guys exclusive benefits, lots of awesome goodies, as well as, like, seasonal stuff too. Like on New Year's, around New Year's, I created a, like, a thing of journal prompts for you to look at the previous year and the year ahead. So lots of good stuff there. Please like and subscribe. If you can, rate and review us. That really, really helps us, not just, like, for our ratings, but to know how we're doing. And if there's anything that we need to improve upon or just keep doing in the podcast, we love to hear your guys' feedback. And follow us on social media. We are at The New Witches pretty much everywhere. That is our show. Thank you so much. I'm Maria.
I'm Laura.
And you've been listening to The New Witches. Stay witchy.
Keep it creepy.
Bye. Bye.